are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host, and the wonderful Laura Sheffield is our guest host.
Hey, y'all.
What's up? What's up?
Oh, not much, Cam. What's up with you?
Slow motion. I cannot call it, but I am so glad to see you. I saw that Laura was coming today, and I was like, oh, she's cooking. But she's not.
Not today, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Laura, what do you do at Community Action? Let everybody know.
So I'm actually the Associate Director of Child Development under Jessica, and I am the Health, Safety, and Nutrition Lead for the agency. So I oversee all the safety compliance, all the health requirements that we're asking for, and the nutrition services.
Food. Laura used to do a cooking show that I'm working the studio, and if there was any show that I really, really look forward to, it was the cooking show. Because you know what? There is not a live audience here when she's cooking. So guess what? We got to eat all the vittles.
All of it. All the leftovers. Except Cam wasn't a huge fan of the tuna.
Yeah. No. and I had to have some meat. She come in here cooking vegetables only. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Healthy eating.
Yeah, healthy. Yeah, she's healthy. But yeah, it's great to have you on the show as you're sitting in for Jessica. And so what's been going on with you?
Oh, you know, Cam, I have a 5 and 8-year-old, so not much besides caring for them.
Hey, tell the audience what you said when I asked you what you do for fun.
Okay, so he said, okay, Laura, what do you do for fun? I said, absolutely nothing. I have kids.
That's so sad, but so true.
So true.
I understand it completely. My daughter has what is he? He's about 19, 20 months now. And an 11-year-old, and while they were staying with us, there was never a dull moment.
Oh, no, never. And you never know what's coming out of their mouths either.
You never know what's going to happen. You can plan your day. You can. But those little rascals, they will change the day in a second. I promise you, now I'm bringing my grandson to the center. And so I was waiting on my daughter to come drop him off. And I was waiting. And then she comes busting through the door with vomit on one hand. Her daughter's sick. She's trying to hold the baby. And I was like, my God, I'm so glad I'm not you. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's just good times. But, you know, we just celebrated Easter. Or what is it, Resurrection Sunday? And we had a good time. Really, really busy weekend. And as a pastor, you can imagine, but I don't think you can. It was super, super duper busy. But it was really good. And we finally had some good weather.
Yes, it was so nice. Perfect for family get-togethers, yes. Easter egg hunts.
What did you all do?
We did some Easter egg hunts and some family get-togethers. Uh-huh. It's been a lot of time outside.
Oh, did you cook?
I didn't have to. My mom did.
See, there it is. That's the good thing right there. Yeah, so we have to celebrate on Saturday, actually, because our church lets out probably around 4 or 5, and no one wants to come in and start cooking then, so Saturday it is. But I think God has the greatest sense of humor, because on Easter, you know, you get your new frocks and your new clothes and everything. And most Easters is raining or snowing.
Yes.
It's like, oh yeah, bring
slush
that spring outfit if you want to.
Yes.
Oh man, but it's good to have you here. I just wonder, do you have a coffee break?
I sure do.
Play the intro music. I don't know why yet. We're going to put an intro visual to go along with this, but I'll wait till the beat drops.
The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Wow.
And that is Eleanor Roosevelt.
Wow. Wow, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
You got to believe it to live it.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, that speaks power, you know. You got to believe it. You got to believe it.
You got to.
And you know what's not said there is you got to dream.
You've got to.
How many people have stopped dreaming? How many people have just given up and said, that's life. This is what I got. But the beauty of your future, right?
Yes, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. So yeah, we got a dream and we gotta look forward.
That's right. Yeah. Always looking forward. Want to do better.
That's it. Okay. All right. I like it. You like it. I love it. All right. We have a powerful show today. We have a great partner along with us today. So will you do us the honor of telling us what the show is about and who our guest is?
Oh, I would love to. So today we have Kristen Hughes. She is the co-executive director for Food Chain. She started in Food Chain in 2019 as the director of education and outreach. And she works with partners and organizations and does a lot with the farm to school programs. And she chairs the Fayette County Farm to School Coalition.
Okay, well, welcome. Thank you for coming and being on the show. How are you?
Yeah, I am great. I'm so excited to be here. I've known Laura for years. Oh. So it's really great to continue kind of our conversations in person.
All right.
We're so happy to have you.
We're going
to
get some dirt today, right?
So, Kristen, can you just tell us a little bit about Food Chain?
Absolutely. So, Food Chain is a nonprofit here in Lexington, Kentucky. So, we're located downtown. We're in what was the old Rainbow Bread Factory. And we really like to talk about the place really being what sparked the idea of Food Chain. So we do a lot of work across the food system, teaching people where their food comes from, how to grow food, how to process it, how to access it. So our mission is to forge links between community and fresh food, and we do that through education and demonstration of sustainable food systems.
I think it's so important right now to be able to grow your food.
And absolutely.
Be able to have your own source of food because things are just so expensive and crazy right now. I think it's important that we all learn how to get in that dirt.
Yes, or water.
Oh, that's right. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So we opened Kentucky's first indoor aquaponics farm in 2013. This was kind of the whole founding of Food Chain, was looking at this form of sustainable agriculture that can be done in an urban setting, that can be done in an underutilized space, an abandoned building. Where we are was closed in the 1980s and then sat empty for 20 years and just created a lot of kind of, there wasn't access to food in the neighborhood, and this exasperated that by not having the bread factory open. And so when we came in, we took 2 years to really design and build this aquaponics farm where we grow tilapia, we grow lettuce, we grow herbs, anything leafy, all in an interconnected system where we're using the same water to grow all of them. So the fish are providing the fertilizer for the plants. The plants are absorbing those nutrients and cleaning the water. And then the water gets pumped right back up to where the fish are.
And it's an amazing thing. Now we were talking about being in the studio here, like it's Vegas because there's no light. But tell us about how you're growing in the dark. Because it's a dark, there's no windows that I can remember.
There are no windows. So where our farm is located in this building is actually what was the old oven room of the bread factory. So that is great when you think about agriculture. You do want warmth, you want insulation, you want heat. So it holds heat really well, which is great for plants. It's great for the fish. We don't need to put like heaters in there. But we are using just LED grow lights in the system that are on a timer so that it is providing what light is needed for those plants to grow. And it's just, it is this little like slice of heaven every time you walk in there, because especially in the winter when it's cold outside, it's dark outside. You go, hey, just come on. Let's walk through these doors. You won't even know what's in here. And then it's like, bam,
right.
Here is
very,
this.
It's yeah. very, very cool to see. Very cool.
Yes.
And the, I mean, when I went, there were, I'm going to say it wrong, but I think they were shrimp. Was that?
Yes. Okay. So we do have a marine shrimp system. Currently, we harvested all of the shrimp a couple of months ago, and we haven't received any new little shrimplets, the tiny little shrimp that we get when they, you know, they start out and then we grow them to size. But we do have, and it is marine shrimp, so it's a saltwater system. It's not hooked up to our main system because our main system is freshwater. You can't mix those two things. But we do have a grow bed that is hooked up to the shrimp system. And so we are able, we mainly focus on Salicornia and sea purslane, which are two kind of native to any saltwater location plants that grow really, really well in that system. And so we're doing aquaponics with saltwater as well as freshwater.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So with Food Chain, the system that you all have is fantastic, but the goal is actually producing food.
The goal is, it's more education than necessarily producing food. We recognize that with the size of our farm, we can't kind of solve any food insecurity, but we can inspire others and we can teach others. So we always talk about our farm as an educational tool. We do tours of the farm. Mm-hmm. You all came out and filmed something that we were able to share with all of the Head Start centers so that they could see up close and personal what it means to run an aquaponics farm, what that looks like. And then we do work with a lot of classrooms to install mini systems to really get kids excited. So we also did this with the Head Start programs. We had this 10-gallon system with some goldfish and some plants, and we have all of these different types. Our newest kind of system for classrooms is a vertical system, so it goes high. Mm. We're using PVC in it, so pumping the water through. The fish are going to be in the bottom in the aquarium. The plants are in the PVC, just as a way to connect people to like alternative growing systems, things that you can do inside, things that really are showing that sustainability, but then also introducing the opportunity for these lessons about what is an ecosystem, what are living things, what do plants need to grow, and just being able to provide that information. And then some of the other things that we do, because we don't just have a farm, we also have a kitchen. And so we are producing a lot of meals through our kitchen, but we're also doing a lot of processing. So thinking about the seasonality of fruits and vegetables, purchasing when it's like high peak season, processing, freezing, dehydrating, freeze drying these, making them, these products available when we don't, when it's not tomato season. You know, we can go into the freezer and pull out some frozen tomatoes and still make something with Kentucky grown produce.
That's awesome. So we did that filming during the peak of COVID.
Yes.
Yes. So, and I think it was like an opportunity for the Head Start students because we were so enclosed that you know, let's take a field trip, a virtual field trip to Food Chain, and it was such a learning experience. So you said, you also said that you all make meals.
Yes.
Who are you making meals for?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different opportunities with meals. We do free community meals every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for anyone in the community. So Mondays and Wednesdays we do hot meals. Fridays, we are doing grocery boxes with Kentucky products, and then doing some like ready-to-eat things along with that. Currently, we have some funding from the Kentucky Department of Agriculture for the LFPA program, which allows us to build boxes and do frozen meals utilizing all Kentucky-grown produce. And then we are also a CACFP sponsor. We are an SFSP sponsor, so really doing a lot of meals for youth and childcare programs as well.
Well, all right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to dig in a little bit deeper with Food Chain. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
We'll be right back. This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.org.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Are listening to Look Who's Talking, and we're here with Kristen Hughes with Food Chain. We're going to get right back into it. And Kristen, food literacy is something of importance in educating parents.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So a lot of our education programs at Food Chain really center around food literacy. So we talked a little bit about, like, we have our aquaponics farm that is really showcasing where your food comes from, how it grows. We have our processing kitchen where we're seeing meals made, tasting meals that are made, looking and being able to kind of touch ingredients and process them. But one of the things that we really focus on, especially with youth, is like, how do we increase their food literacy? So I'm going to put you guys on the spot really quickly.
Uh-oh.
Yes, this is something I love to do with my kids.
I'm ready to fail. Let's go.
First question. How many different grocery stores or places to buy food can you name? And you can just name them.
Kroger, Walmart, Aldi's.
Oh, you're going to show out now. Now you're going to show out. You're not going to give me a chance to
say
a word.
Come on, you got to join in, Cam.
you took all the good ones. Yeah.
Target. Food? Buy food at Target.
I guess so.
They have little groceries.
Yeah.
Dollar Generals.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. So that was quick.
We got
a lot. All right. Here's the hard part. How many Kentucky farms or farmers can you name?
Lost Acres Farm.
Black Soil.
Good.
Stepping Stone Farm.
Oh yeah.
That's
and we're done.
You guys did a lot better than a lot of my classes. So one of the things that we really focus on at Food Chain is like locally grown produce and in season produce. Mm-hmm. And it's especially important because like you could rattle off all of those grocery stores, no problem. You guys came up with some farms. Great. It shows that you have some partnerships with mm-hmm. a lot of great ones where you're getting stuff.
Why.
But most people don't recognize or don't mm-hmm. know like who their farmers are, right? You're going to Kroger and you're buying that food, but Kroger's not growing it.
Right.
But Kroger is the household name. So we're really trying to kind of change that story and make it so that we're uplifting the farmers. We're naming the farmers. We're showing their faces. This is who is out there, rain or shine, in flooding, in tornadoes, you know, like making sure that they are putting food on the table for everyone. And so that's really, really important. So one of the things that we do is we, you know, uplift our farmers. We bring local produce when we're doing taste tests, when we are doing our meals, when we're doing cooking classes with kids, and we're really highlighting that. But one of the other things that we do is we really encourage like exploration of personal food preferences. Mm. So you all like what you like. I like what I like. There's maybe some food items we all don't like, but it's probably different and nobody is wrong, right? You are allowed to not like something. You're allowed to like something. And we really do encourage this in kids, but we also want to introduce those opportunities for more food curiosity.
Say that.
So the way that you can, some of the ways you can kind of increase food literacy, and especially thinking about a parent working with a kid who might be picky, who might have very strong personal food preferences. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we suggest are letting kids eat with their hands. Then it becomes a whole sensory experience, and they're more likely to touch and look and feel and taste and smell things. We encourage taking two bites of something, not just one bite, because the first bite a lot of times is your mouth and your taste buds getting used to that flavor, and it might be shocking. The second bite is finally when, like, oh, you can now actually taste this, and you can see that maybe this is a flavor you like. We also do a lot of like introducing vocabulary so that we can talk about food in a positive way. So instead of saying, ew, yuck, gross, disgusting, you know, I don't like this because the texture is chewy. I don't like this because it's too salty. But also kind of asking youth and thinking about, you know, what would help you to like this? Or is there something you can change to like this? Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of what we do, and just really encourage like parents to not get frustrated. You definitely have to keep trying to get kids to try new things. And sometimes it's actually easier coming from somebody else instead of the parent for like getting.
Yeah. I mean, research shows, as a registered dietitian, research shows that you have to have a try of 10 to 15 times before you truly know if you like or not like something.
Absolutely.
Now, you just said something that got me thinking. You just said food literacy, and I believe you're focusing on children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about adults?
Yeah, same. The same goes for adults.
Because I know a lot of adults.
Absolutely.
Who have gotten their food group, and that is it. They are not willing to experience or experiment with anything else.
Yes. So one of the ways that we encourage this at Food Chain, we do monthly community cooking classes open to anyone in the community. It is the third Saturday of every month. They are invited to come to Food Chain, cook with us, make something. So a lot of times our classes will focus on a specific ingredient or a food type to really expose adults and children, if children come. We've had more adults come to these classes. But an example is one of the classes we did was about eggplant. If you mm-hmm. hand somebody eggplant who's never seen an eggplant, has never mm-hmm. tasted an eggplant, the likelihood is that they are not going to do anything with
right.
it. But if you invite them in and you provide that education along with that access, and you say, hey, come and learn how, you know, to make an eggplant not taste so bitter, come and learn like these different ways to prepare it, you are more likely to try it. And we've seen a lot of success that way.
I think fruit is another example. Like Chick-fil-A has a dragon fruit drink. Mm-hmm. Have I ever had dragon fruit? No. But do I like the drink? Yes. So I don't know. It's just it's to me, food and different experiences enlightening me. You know,
at
my age, I can still learn something new. I can still experience something new, and it's almost a travesty if you decide that you're not going to learn anything new.
Absolutely.
Even with food, it's
absolutely.
Like there's so many different things that I've never tried, you know, and you know, even this is off key, so but even like with Chinese food, I don't know what to order if I go to order,
mm-hmm.
but I eat the buffet, so I'm not really. You know, learning, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know.
So, yeah. And one of the things that we also encourage is like, find ways to try one new thing a month. Keep mm-hmm. a food journal. Write down what it was that you ate and how it tasted. Is it something you would order again? One of the things that I try to do is when going to new restaurants or even restaurants that I really like, I usually order the same thing, but I push myself.
Right.
Let me try something different mm-hmm. and let me write down what it was and if this is something I would order again. But especially with like kids that are in the Head Start program, encouraging families to like go to the grocery store or even better, go to the farmer's market with your child. Have them like select something. Let them pick out what they want to try once a month and then take it home, look up recipes together, cook together, keep this running journal of, you know, what was this ingredient? How did we prepare it? Did we like it? Did we not? And that's one of the things, you know, cooking with kids really does help to improve a lot of those food curiosity and food literacy skills that we really would like to see. I mean, Laura's doing so much with child nutrition and with the nutrition program and the Head Start program and providing these opportunities for this food curiosity to happen in the classroom. So we've got to make sure that that's also happening at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is that, Laura? What is that program? Talk about
Cooking Matters. So we take families and they come together for family engagement night with their kids, and the kids actually prepare the food and the parents get to see, oh, if my kid's involved in the cooking process, mm-hmm. they're more likely to try something.
That's right. That's right. Yes. And there's another program where kids try different things in the classroom. What is that? You know? Oh, I just put her on the spot. Look
you
at that.
Did just put me on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. You send me pictures and tell me to post them on Facebook.
Okay, so we actually, as part of our Farm to School initiative,
thank you.
last program year, we partnered with Lost Acres Farms and Stepping Stone Farm to produce or to give us the produce. And the kids did taste testing, and they tasted kale. They tasted spinach, they tasted strawberries, and we got to see what they preferred and what they didn't prefer. And then we also do classroom nutrition activities mm-hmm. where they make the food fun.
Absolutely. I thought you was going to say, we got to see some ugly faces.
Yeah, I mean, they do the, you know, happy face or frowny mm-hmm. face, so they get yeah. to rate how they like the food.
But it's so important to keep introducing. I remember I did with my grandkids, every weird fruit that was in the aisle that mm-hmm. I never got, hey, let's try it. You
yeah.
know, let's get the kiwi. Let's get the one with the bumps on it. Let's forget what that is.
You got to go get that dragon fruit.
Yeah.
See if you actually like
that.
It.
Right,
passion
right.
fruit, too.
Right, passion fruit. I think that's the one I want to try right yeah. there.
There are native to Kentucky passion fruit. Okay,
really?
Yes. So I know that there's a tree actually near us, near our location at Food Chain on the Legacy Trail that has passion fruit. It grows in the wild. But it is not in season right now, so you've got to wait.
Yeah, like Chick-fil-A, you know, I love their peach shake, and they want to say it's seasonal. It's syrup! Give me the syrup! You ain't even going out getting no fresh peaches. They probably are, though, you know.
You never know.
I know, it's just crazy. So I really appreciate you being on the show today. How can people get in touch with you and learn more?
Absolutely. So they can go to our website, foodchainlex.org, or follow us on social media at foodchainlex. We are on Facebook and Instagram. That's where they can get the most up-to-date information. And then look out, because we are opening a neighborhood green grocery store in 2026.
What?
Next to our kitchen. It's in the same building. And we are super, super excited to be able to provide fresh food.
That is great. That is great. So real quick, what can you look for in that store?
Absolutely. So we are going to continue our partnership with Kentucky Farmers, mm-hmm. being able to procure local ingredients at wholesale and bulk pricing to be able to pass along that savings to our customers, but then also looking at being able to provide some frozen meals or some frozen processed ingredients to make making a meal at home a lot easier and a lot more like time saving, because time is something that does kind of constrain when we are able to, you know, make fresh meals together.
Absolutely.
As a family.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Kristen, for being on the show.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Look Who's Talking.